This morning, as you head to your car, if you look up over the other building, we have a new roof. That church was able to pay for due to the rental income and many other things that have been done because of that. Amen. Couldn't hear me. Maybe the God didn't want you to hear what I had to say. What I said was, there is, when you head out to your car today, take a look up at the roof on the building next to us and thank the Lord that we were able to pay for a new roof due to the rent income that comes in and many other things that have been accomplished because of that. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that one? Okay. Please open in your Bibles this morning to Judges, the 6th chapter. Gideon is a man that is in the Bible, and I was quite intrigued with his comment to what was spoken to him. I want to preach this morning or minister on a time for miracles. And after we read Judges chapter 6, 12 through 14, we're going to turn to Psalms 119, verse 126. But here Israel has been being attacked by the Midianites. And we pick up at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon, I would like to talk to you for a moment and ask you, why would you say such a credible statement? You have just said, where are all the miracles if God be for us? Gideon, an angel just appeared to you, and you dare to say, where are all the miracles? Anybody have an angel appear to you? How many know that would be a miracle in itself? But if we only look for what our heart wants to see, we will not see what is there that God is doing. And I want to preach and say, Gideon, miracles are happening. They were happening. You're just not looking in the right place, Gideon. In fact, one is right in front of you, and you fail to see it. In the Old Testament, there is another story similar to this vein of thinking when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the tabernacle. And one of the sons of Eli's wife, whose husband had been killed at battle, said, The glory is departed. To the contrary, no, the glory had not departed. God was still with Israel. But we so often see things in the light of our own faith, and it is often not a correct view of things. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119 and verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Norman, would you ask God to bless the sermon this morning, please? You're doing such a good job with her. You sure? Yes. Amen. Norman had no idea I'd call on him, but if I can't preach with a prayer like that, my wood is wet. Amen. I remember in 1971, I was preaching my first series of meetings, a revival, we called it, in Tarzana, California. I remember this church that I was at, and I was wanting to pray, and I would go into the sanctuary during the day and wait before the Lord and call upon Him, and I wanted music to help me, as Elisha often said, bring me the minstrel before he entered in ministering in the Lord, and music has often been something that has helped me in my prayer time. And I remember finding an old record player in the church, and there was a record, and I remember turning it on, and the song that was being sung was I Believe in Miracles. It's one that's very well known, and I remember the words. It's I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free, miraculous, the changing one, redeemed through Calvary. I've seen a lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. Yes, I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. I remember praying and wondering, this is my first meeting, and I wonder what my ministry will be like. I wonder what God has in store for me. As I was there, 21 years of age, heading out, and this is my first time. Now, after 45 years, I look back, and I can partly answer that question I had as I looked into the future. And so I take a look at Gideon as an angel appears unto him, and he says something that I thought struck me rather odd when he said, if God be for us, then why are these things happening to us? And where are all the miracles? And I thought, Gideon, they're all around you. You're just not looking in the right place. Although it's not considered a miracle, I think miracles happen continually around us. And as I said, it's not considered a miracle, but when a baby is born, I look at that as maybe not theologically in the sense as we would define a miracle, but still it's a miracle when you see a baby that comes forth. And all the amazing things, David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Speaking of babies, it reminds me of the young doctor that was at his practice, and a young 73-year young lady came and wasn't feeling well and went into his office, and during the examination, hadn't been into it about 7 minutes when she left his office and went running down the hallway, just really grieving and quite concerned. And an elderly doctor saw her and knew her and asked her, said, come here, Martha, what is wrong? And she said, it's what he told me in the examination. And so she shared it with him. And that older doctor, he took off storming down the hallway, went to that office of the young doctor where she had just been, and he said to this young doctor, what in the world are you doing telling Martha at 73 years of age that she's pregnant? She has 4 children and she has 8 grandchildren. The young doctor says, does she still have her hiccups? I just could not resist the temptation. Miracles. God, the angel, did not respond to his ridiculous statement when he asked, where are all the miracles? He didn't give him a list and said, by the way, Gideon, here are the miracles. Nor did he tell Gideon how a miracle comes about. He just simply told him to get going, and God will save Israel. If you go to your concordance in a Thompson Chain Bible and you look up the word miracle, there is quite a list that starts and pretty much tells of all of the miracles in the Bible. It starts with a rod that was restored, a hand made leprous, and these are the miracles under Moses' time. Water turned to blood, river into blood, the frogs, the lice. Of course, these are the 9 plagues, the flies, the boils, the hail, the locusts, the darkness that came, the firstborn that was destroyed, the sea that was divided, the waters that were sweetened, water that came out of the rock, the brazen serpent, and Aaron's rod that budded. And then you have the miracles of Joshua. And listed under the miracles that happened in his time was the Jordan that divided, the Jericho, and the sun that stood still and the moon that stayed. Then you come to the miracles of Samson. And you have the lion that was slain and the Philistines that were killed as the Spirit of God came on Samson. The gates of Gaza that he carried off that were obviously very heavy. Dagon's house that was pulled down, the statue. And then you have the miracles of Samuel under his ministry. And you have the day it thundered in the rain. And Jeroboam's hand that withered and an altar that was rent. And then there was a hand that was restored. Then you come to the miracles under Elijah's ministry. There was the drought. He said to King Ahab, you will not see rain until the Lord uses me to pray it down again. You have the meal and the oil that was multiplied. You have the child restored to life. You have the sacrifice that was consumed on Mount Carmel. You have the fire that came down and destroyed those sets of captains, 50 of them. You have the rain that came. You have the waters of Jordan that were divided as he went across. And then you have, that was at the end of Elijah's ministry. And then you have Elisha's ministry and the miracles that happened under Elisha. You have the Jordan divided. You have the waters healed. You had the children that were mocking Elisha and the bears came out and destroyed them. You have the water supplied for the widow. You have the oil that was multiplied. You have the pottage rendered harmless. You have the loaves that were multiplied. You have a child that is raised to life. You have Naaman, the captain, that was healed. You have Gehazi struck with leprosy. You have the iron head that did swim. You have the resurrection of a man that as soon as they threw this one man into the pit and touched the bones of Elijah, life came back into him. And then you have the miracles that happened during Isaiah's ministry, where Hezekiah was healed, the shadow was put back. And then you come to the miracles of Christ, and it says the first miracle was the water turning into wine. You have the nobleman's son raised to life. You have the disciples, because they couldn't catch fish, and now the nets are full. You have the demon-possessed in the tomb being delivered and cast out and ran into the swine, and the swine ran into the sea. You have the Peter's mother-in-law healed. You have the cleansing of the leper. You have the impotent man healed of the withered hand. You have the centurion's servant raising to life the widow's son. You have others that are demons are cast out. You have Jesus saying to the storm, "Peace, be still." You have Jesus feeding the 5,000. You have Jesus feeding the 4,000. You have Jesus walking on the water. You have Jesus healing the deaf and healing the blind. You have Jesus telling Peter to go catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth will be a coin to pay that which is rendered unto Caesar. You have the 10 lepers that are healed and only one returned to give thanks. You have another leper healed. You have Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days, and God raised him from the dead. You have Jesus cursing the fig tree. And then you end in John's gospel, and it ends with these words: "There are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written..." That is all the miracles. Every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. There's so many miracles. There's so many. Gideon, you might check up on, because how often and easy it is to get into a mindset when God can be moving all around you, but you're not seeing it. It could be, for many reasons, you're not looking for it, and it may be you're not seeing any, but then we move to the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, the constant flow of this God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever continues to see miracle after miracle. From Paul and Silas being delivered from jail at midnight as they sang praises unto God. From Paul shaking off the serpent that was very poisonous after it had bitten him. And on the list goes. Miracles that you find I can break down into categories. You have miracles that happen in plenty of time before maybe they had to happen. And then you have the miracles that happened at the very last minute. Miracles like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace. God could have given a miracle at any point after they had been told, and he could have delivered them in many ways, but he brought a miracle at the very last minute. You have these kind of miracles that you come right when you've got to have a miracle, and then at the last moment you get that miracle. You have the children of Israel that are backed up to the Red Sea, and they have nowhere to go, and the mightiest army is coming down on them, and at the last minute God said to Moses, "Why cry unto me?" It's only one time God ever said, "Don't pray." He said, "Stretch forth thy rod." And Moses stretched forth the rod, and the Red Sea opened up, and they went and marched on dry ground. So you have miracles that happen at the last minute. And then you have miracles that happen when it seemed too late. Like if the miracle should have happened, it should have happened here. It didn't happen at the last minute, but God is not on our time schedule. And God will give you a miracle when you thought it was too late. And God can give you a miracle when the season you think is past. The man at the pool of Bethesda having five porches when there was the water, and at once a year at a certain time an angel came down and troubled the waters, and whoever stepped in was made whole of whatsoever they had. This was a dirty water. It was a place where many sick was, which I would say that you never know what God will use to bring a miracle. And this was something dirty, but when the angel came along and troubled the waters, whoever was stepped in was made whole, and a miracle. But Jesus comes walking up to a man that has been there, the scripture says, for 38 years he's had this infirmity. And Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man said, "I have no one to put me into the pool. But while I'm trying to get to the pool, someone beats me to it, and so it's too late." And what this man was saying was, it's too late. I had my opportunity for a miracle, but it's gone. And how often in our life we may feel that we needed a miracle back here, but we didn't get the miracle. And now we're of the mindset, it's too late. But I want you to know that God can give you a miracle. And no matter when it is, and even when you think it's too late, He can still give you that miracle. When you have Abraham and Sarah, who were past the age of bearing children. And how many know when you're 90 years old and you have a baby, you got a miracle out of season. And you might have expected a miracle maybe back when you were 30 or 40 or 50, but now you're 90. And you're having this child, and it's a miracle out of season. I want you to know that you may be here today and say, "Well, you know, if God was going to do something, he should have done it during here, but now it's too late." Why do we operate according to the clock? It may be good to give us an extra hour of sleep, but God does not work according to our almanac and our calendar. God works according to where He sits on the circle of the earth, and He who habits eternity and does not operate the way we do, but He who sits in eternity occasionally jumps into time and gives us a miracle out of time and can do something wonderful for us. So I say that there are miracles that happen when you may think it's too late for the miracle to happen, but no, a miracle can still happen though you didn't get the miracle when you think you should have gotten the miracle. And then there are miracles by not giving you a miracle. You know there's a miracle in not giving you a miracle. Joseph is thrown into the pit, and he asks God to deliver him. You know he did. He's crying out for help, but no deliverance comes. He's taken by the slaves. He's taken into Egypt, and all the way there, you know Joseph is saying, "Oh Lord, deliver me," and no miracle comes. And now he's in jail because he has been framed by Potiphar's wife. And I'm sure, as the scripture says in Psalms, that during that hard time in his life, when his soul was turned to iron and it was a difficult time, I'm sure he prayed God deliver him, but no miracle came. But there was a miracle in not giving a miracle. And sometimes when you wonder, where is the miracle? The very fact God is not going to give you a miracle is because He's already orchestrating a miracle in your life, because all things work together for good to them that love God. And though you may not see the miracle, a miracle is still happening by not giving you the miracle. So we have these miracles all around us. We all need miracles. Jesus was either going to perform a miracle, He was either heading to a miracle, performing a miracle or he was just leaving a miracle. And Psalms 119, or one of our texts, says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work. If you remove the miracles in the Bible, you have a very small Bible. You have a very dry Bible. You have a very boring Bible if you remove the miracles. If you remove the miracles, you've removed the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remove the miracles, boredom will set in. It's a miracle that people that attend churches that don't believe in miracles, it's a miracle they're still serving God. But that's God's keeping powers, miracles. If there's one thing that stirred me and got my attention as a young man, it was the miracles. It was the miracles. I've learned in these 46 years, I can't make a miracle, but I've sure seen them. I've sure observed them. People of all ages have tried to figure out. We've been trying to, you take all these stories and you can try to find a common denominator and try to figure it out. You never will. There's no formulas. It's wrapped up in his nature. Catherine Kuhlman, that great woman of God, taught us more about divine healing by not teaching us how to be healed. I want to say that again. That was really a good, that was a good one. Catherine Kuhlman taught us more about divine healing by not teaching us how to be healed. Now, I have come to the conclusion myself that just two things are necessary in order to have a miracle. Just two. I used to have three, but I did away with the third one. But I believe that two things are necessary to have a miracle that I'm going to share with you. I believe the greatest hindrance to our receiving anything from God is our thinking. Our thinking can be carnal, it can be fleshly. When we begin to think in terms of revival or healing or spiritual deliverance or a miracle we need for our finances, or a miracle we need in our body, or a miracle we need in our family, or a miracle we need in our emotions, it's easy. We can immediately begin to assess the situation and to see whether or not it's feasible. Like the 10 spies that, or 12 spies that went in to the promised land, and they were ordered to find a route on which they should take in order to bring and accomplish victory. But 10 of them did what they were not asked to do, and they assessed the situation to see if they were able or not to go in and to conquer the enemy. And because they assessed the situation, they said when they got back, due to the circumstances, we cannot go in. And so often we likewise say, when it comes to our awareness of our needs and we need a revival or whatever it is that we feel we need, we can't have a revival. We assess the situation and we say, well, you know, there's just a group of people who will rise up in opposition to it. There's too many that are just really not stirred like they should be to have a revival. We can't have a revival because there's too much worldliness or too much confusion, and we must all be of one mind and one accord, or we can't have it. We can't expect healing or spiritual deliverance now because we've been living out of God's will and we're doing things that aren't right, and we can't expect a miracle because we don't deserve the help. Or we can't really expect a miracle. The enemy is fighting too hard now. This really isn't the right time for a miracle. Maybe sometime back and maybe down the road, but not now. And we assess our situations. And by doing so, we place God in our mold. And we create a God in the image of ourselves by our thinking. Let me get back to my thought. Think with me. There are only two elements necessary, I believe, in order for there to be a miracle or a move of God. Number one, there first must be a need. It is a fallacy to think that God can't work just because a small group of people might rise up in opposition. If you think of all of the opposition that is against why a miracle should happen, whether you say God can't give us a revival, our nation is too messed up, our people in power, and we can really be good at giving reasons why, like Gideon, where are all the miracles? If God be for us, then why haven't we been seeing it? We can give reasons why we think maybe the church won't have a great move of God and God to work, and we can look in that direction. We can point to the local congregation. We can point to our home. But let me say, God always is opposed to what is going on in the world. The world is always opposed to a miracle. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? But we seem to focus on what is against us. We seem to focus in our thinking on why we will not have a miracle, rather than, you know, we can have a miracle here. I got to thinking, Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. It was a time of confusion and idolatry. If you read the story of Abraham in Genesis, starting around chapter 12, this was a time in the earth of confusion and idolatry. The world had just had a flood, and they were in a rebuilding process. As soon as they are starting to rebuild after the flood and everything's wiped out, we read that they began to build a tower. And this tower was going to reach into the heavens. And God said, there's nothing they won't be able to do because of their being of one mind. And that's a good one to try to figure out. But God came down and brought confusion. And so now you have all of these different languages. So it's a time of darkness because of the flood that had just happened not too far back. It's a time of that, and it's a time of confusion. And it was such a time as this that God called Abram and brought into being the children of God, the Israelites. God works great with darkness. God works great with opposition. It was out of darkness God said, let there be light. And so when you assess your situation, may I just suggest to you to back up, and it does not matter the darkness, the opposition, or that be against you. God can bring a miracle anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And Moses and the Israelites, here's Pharaoh's army coming down, as I mentioned earlier. Now Moses is up against the Red Sea, and here's the army. And Moses didn't pray on the grounds for deliverance that the Israelites were perfect. He didn't pray on the grounds that these children of Israel had never rebelled. He didn't pray on the grounds they've never opposed leadership. He prayed on the basis of their need. That's what he prayed about. When they needed water, he didn't pray, Lord, this sweet, delightful, lovely people are thirsty, and would you be so obliged to give them a drink? No. He prayed on the basis of their need. One thing you can be sure of, God never saves, he never heals, he never delivers unless there is a need. But my God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches. You say, I had a need and he didn't do it. No, he gives a miracle by not giving a miracle to the child of God, because all things work together. You are a walking miracle, and miracles are around you. But may God open our eyes as Elisha prayed for his servant, and may, as Jesus opened the eyes of the disciples, and may God open our understanding as Gideon needed it when he said, if God be for us, then where are all the miracles? You can't be and receive a miracle unless you have a need. How many have a need? You can't be delivered out of the fire unless you're in the fire. God can't give you a song in the night unless you're in the night. So when we are pressed down and we're surrounded and we're overcome and we're aware of a great need for deliverance, know this, God does not deliver on the basis of what we deserve, but He delivers on the basis of our need. Thank God, He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. The second thing you need for a miracle is a God. There is a God. There's a creator, a keeper, a savior, a healer, a guide, a constant companion. There is one who not only shields us from trouble, but sometimes God lets us get into trouble just in order to deliver us so He can teach us more about Himself. And He sometimes lets us get into trouble, not because we're at fault. It may be we're at fault. It may be we're not at fault on why we got into trouble. But God allows us to get into trouble just so He can deliver us out of the trouble so we can learn about His greatness. He lets one be born blind, not because anyone did anything wrong, but because God intended to get glory out of this situation. And as Jesus said to them, asking the question, who did sin? And Jesus said, neither. But for the glory of God was this miracle performed. God can get glory out of darkness. He created everything out of darkness. He brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. He can lead you into something so He can lead you out of it. He led Jesus by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. It wasn't the devil that led Him into the wilderness. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, so that when He accomplished the victory, then He returned in the power of the Spirit. God will lead you into something so He can lead you out of it greater than when you went into it. How many know we're all in a process of growing and maturing in the ways of God? And can I honestly say that those 45 years ago, I have been observing miracles ever since. I've shared many of them with you. I never know when they might happen. I never know what I do that might cause it to happen. I never know it can happen in my sleep. It can happen when I'm thinking about God. It can happen when I'm not thinking about God. It can happen when I've been real good. It can happen when I haven't been so good. It can happen, and I'm not trying to cause me to have a non-lackadaisical attitude, but I have learned this in the 46 years. I don't control the miracles. He does. And so I just keep following Him. And occasionally, and it has happened, so He controls it. Wow, that was a miracle. 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 I don't control it. Nobody does. God is the miracle worker. But there must be a need, and there must be a God. I remember when we were working in Eugene, and we had a young lady whose name was Tiffany Crabtree. I know the last name was Crabtree. I'm not sure if it was the first one, Tiffany. I was waiting on many of the clients, and often I would get words on them. And somehow the word got back to Tiffany of me talking about the Lord often to these clients that came in for consultation. And one day she came to me, and she shared with me that she was a Mormon. I asked her, I said, well, do you Mormons believe in miracles? Well, she wasn't quite sure. Joseph Smith seems to think that he had some revelation, which I'm not convinced is from God, but Paul said, if an angel comes to you with any other gospel, let him be accursed. And I don't believe in the revelation that Joseph Smith had. And I say that in all due respect. But she began to talk, And I remember sharing with her, and so I said, you know, one time Elijah in the Bible, I said, you read the Bible, and you know, it's amazing how these people that go in these different churches, they get caught up in another book other than the Bible. May I encourage you, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. What does the Bible say? And I shared with her, do you remember the story where Elijah was him versus all these other religion? He said, let the God that answers by fire, then let him be the God. And so I said, tell you what, Tiffany, you tell me if you have a miracle. And then she said to me, then you tell me if you get a miracle. Would you tell me if the Lord shows you something about me? And I said, yes, but would you tell me if the Lord shows you something about me? And let's see whose God is accurate here. I haven't often thrown down the gauntlet, but that day I did. I probably was nuts for doing so. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. But I remember she came and told us that she was going to, she gave us her a month's notice or a week's notice. She was going to be an airline stewardess. And I remember back in my office, and I knew the day was coming. And I cannot tell you that I did something to cause this to happen. It's God that's the author and finisher of our faith. But I was there in my office. The Lord gave me a vision on Tiffany. And I see Tiffany, and I know it's her, and I see a little dog. And I see this dog, its right paw is bandaged. That's all I saw. I didn't know anything other than that. And so I called her back. It was her very last day. I said, Tiffany, do you remember back yonder when we talked? She said, yes. I said, well, the Lord showed me something for you, about you. And she said, what was it? And I told her. And Tiffany began to cry. Tiffany began to wipe her tears away. And I knew it was the Lord, but I didn't know how it was related in any way. And she said, oh, Pastor, she said, my husband and I have two dogs. And we were out taking our dogs for a walk. And one of our dogs, we don't know how, but apparently walking on the concrete, its paw got cut. And it didn't heal up. And it started oozing. And we had to take it to the vet. And we took it to the vet, and the vet just wrapped it. And it's its front right paw. And you are telling me you see this dog. And I told her, I see a little black dog, and its front right paw. Would you tell me what that's about? She said, that is the Lord showing you. I said, Tiffany, let the God that answered by fire, let the God that is supernatural, let it be something that will confirm and let us know that our God is real. Our God is alive. And with that, I was able to pray with Tiffany and challenge her in her Mormon belief and to challenge her to consider reading the Bible and looking to Jesus as the answer to our faith. I say that because people, my whole life, I have been experiencing the supernatural and miracles. I don't control it. I can't even take credit for it. It's not me, but it's Him, and it's in the Bible, and it's real. And the early church in the book of Acts, after Jesus had left, they even prayed that God would give the Holy Spirit that they might preach with power, and they asked God for signs and wonders, because signs and wonders help produce faith just probably a whole lot better than a sermon does at times. A sermon is good when it's theologically and God's word is anointed, and yes, and by the foolishness of preaching, men are converted. But listen, so are also people converted because of miracles. And may our church continually contend for the faith that was once handed down. You need not be afraid of a God that is in charge of miracles. And so I ask you, if you be a Gideon, may you back up and say, Lord, let me look at this another way. Let me be aware, because I believe miracles are happening around you. I really do, if you'll look for them. If you'll be sensitive, and if you'll look, the Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May we not look at people Don't look at me, please. That's not any of my intention. It's to look to Him. Look to God. John was right. He must increase, I must decrease. And yet, be careful of that scripture that says that John did no miracles. But that doesn't mean that John didn't see the supernatural. He may not have been used to do miracles as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, but he did have the supernatural happen in his life. He was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. John the Baptist had the revelation that there is the Christ. Everybody can have the supernatural. I believe that. But are you looking for it? Are you sensitive to it? And may you hunger and thirst. Don't let your thinking. It says they limited the Holy One of Israel because of their unbelief. So may God help you. How many have a need today? If you have a need, I'm going to ask God for a miracle. Would you stand? We have a God. We have a need. He's the miracle worker. But would you come forward? It's He who does it. And I want to keep it as simple as I can. I have needs. I have needs. I used to preach, you needed three things. You needed a need. You had to have God. You had to have faith. But now I've changed the faith to you need the Holy Spirit. I've had miracles when I didn't have faith. And so if they put it on me, you got to have faith. Well, I can say I'm sorry, but I've had miracles. And because then, why would God do that? Because then I might brag about it. And then I might say, if you'd believe like I believe, and then where's boasting? It is excluded. And God gives miracles. He's a miracle working God. And oh, when I came here 8 years ago, I was right there where Doug is. And I was laying on my face before God when God spoke to me, Jeremiah 33:3. And Terry's quoted that over the years. And I looked it up and it said, call upon me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That was 8 years ago. And I remember laying down and saying, oh God, I call upon you. Show me great and mighty things that I know not. That day, I went to get a haircut. She charged $10 back in those days. And while I'm getting a haircut, I looked in the mirror in front of me that same day, and there was that verse that said, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. I've told you, I got up, shook myself off, and I said, this is the best haircut I've ever had. She thinks I was talking about her cutting, but no, I was talking about how God confirmed to me. In these 8 years, I've seen God do great and mighty things. I really have. I've seen Him do amazing things in this church. He's a miracle-working God. Let us ask Him to do what He does best. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to You because I'm nothing, but You're everything. And the Word said, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. You see every need that is here. You know every need that is here. We have needs personally. We have needs physically. We have needs for loved ones. We have needs for family. Loved ones that we love, that we raised, that we trained. And now, Lord, when we see them have a need, it's like it all over again. And I lift up my loved one. I lift them up, O Lord, as Hannah lifted up an empty womb, as Jairus lifted up his daughter before the Lord and his servant, as the widow of Nain lifted up her dead son, as the woman came to Elijah when he said, is all well? And she said, it is well, but deep in her heart there was a hurt. for a loved one, a child that was sick and it died. It's never too late, God, to give a miracle. Even when they have died, you raised Lazarus from the dead. They said, if thou had been here, but now it's too late. But God, it's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late for a miracle. Oh God, I pray for you to give your people miracles. You're a miracle working God. It is time for the Lord to work, Psalm says. Lord, we praise you. I stretch forth my hands that are nothing without your anointing, that are nothing without your blessings and your approval. So Lord, take each need that is here. As we present it to you, give a miracle. Let a miracle happen. Give us eyes to see it. Give us grace to receive it. And we'll be sure and thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Let's find a place to pray and look to the Lord this morning, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. By the way, Tiffany called me later and said that God healed her dog that day. She got home and the paw was all better. If God be interested in a dog, how much more us? And that's what Jesus said. Consider the lilies of the field and the sparrows, not a one of them. But God is not mindful that provides for them. He will provide for you. He will minister and give miracles. Just before I was to preach that this morning, I was walking to the back end of the office and I look, and there was a book written by Catherine Kuhlman, I Believe in Miracles. I opened it up and one person said the reason they didn't believe in miracles, they said they supposed they were too intellectual. That's why our thinking, if you think you're pretty intellectual, you might just humble yourself and admit, Lord, I don't know nothing. And you know everything. Teach me, O Lord, thy way. Amen. Amen. Isn't he a wonderful God? He's a God of miracles. When Skip Kincaid comes back, I can guarantee you there'll be miracles that have happened in his ministry. And they happen. Oh, God, keep my eyes open. They're there. Amen. 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 Lord bless you. Yes.